Broadcasting from AnyUpMagazine.com and 620 WDAE AM, the sports animal in Tampa Bay, Florida.
With your hosts, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's time to Ante Up. It's October 10th, and you're listening to the best poker podcast on the internet.
Chris, I don't know why we are incapable of driving on a road trip for the magazine to various poker rooms and not be able to play a hand of poker.
You know, I was wondering if you played or not. I forgot to ask you all this time.
I just got back. I was down in Fort Lauderdale. It was just a quickie trip. Drove down Monday night, got back Tuesday, or drove back late Tuesday night.
Right.
You were supposed to come, but you apparently,
fell ill.
Ate one too many tamales the night before. So I did this trip solo. And it's for the Florida Gaming Summit. We'll talk a lot more about that on next week's show. I did visit a number of the rooms down there, as you know, because we're smart. We tried to package these trips together.
Right.
For maximum value.
Yep.
And I did not, again, did not play one hand of poker.
That is ridiculous.
But I tried this time. Last time we did not try. And so I was in the Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood, where the summit was.
Right.
And I got there a little early before the first night and decided, you know what? The Rays are playing in the playoffs, and I want to watch the game. Right. I was just going to sit down in the bar. I'm like, no, I can go to the poker room. They got a nice sports-themed poker room there, right?
Right.
We got the game on. I'll play a little poker. I'm like, ooh, I can't believe I had to think about this. So, of course, I look at my wallet, and I pulled a Cosenza. I didn't properly fund my wallet for a poker expedition.
Right.
So I went to the ATM at the Hard Rock, and $4.
Yeah.
To take my money out.
Yeah.
$4.
Pretty steep.
Not mentioning whatever Regions is going to take out of me, you know, unless Regions fails before they actually get a chance to to ding me for my buck. But and so anyway, I walked over to the poker room and nothing but no limit hold'em going on.
Yeah, we knew that.
I know. I was just hopeful thinking that there would be something else there, but there wasn't. So you know, I walked out and then it had like that. You remember that little from Animal House with Pinto? When he's got the girl in the bed, and he's got John Belushi as the angel and the devil, and that's what was going through my head. I'm like, wait a minute. Maybe I should go back and play No Limit Hold'em.
Mm.
And I'm like, yeah, you know what? That's right. So I walk back in, and then like the devil and the angel are going, do it, do it, do it.
They're both saying it?
And the angel was like, no, no, oh, okay. You're going to lose your money. You're going to be upset. So the angel won, and I went and spent $5 at the bar for a Miller Lite draft and watching the game. But on the way home, I swung by Seminole Brighton. It's the one land-based casino in the state that one of the two of us hasn't made it to yet.
Right.
We went to cross it off our bucket list.
Yep.
And so I'm driving there, and it's really out in the middle of nowhere, Chris, as you know. You look at the map, it's way out there, which is why we didn't make it before. But, you know, it was kind of on the way home. It was a little bit out of the way, but not that far. So, So I have trouble finding it because the GPS doesn't know where it is, and I'm driving, and I'm following signs and stuff. So I eventually make it there in the middle of the night. You know, I'm driving down the road, and it's like that the Batcave in the 60s, you know, it comes out, and all the tumbleweed and stuff. Exactly. Yeah, I was like, you know, I was waiting for the Joker to jump out or something.
Did the little gate go down for you automatically?
But so I finally get to the casino, and it's a small casino, we knew that, but, you know, it's a nice casino. It's like all the Seminoles. And I walk in, and it's late. You know, I've been in policy sessions all day at the Gambling Summit and stopped at a couple rooms, and it's late. I just want to get in and check the room out and see the lovely poker room manager there, Dottie, who loves us. And I walk in and get to the back of the card room, and there's a sign that says, sorry, poker room closed for renovations. We'll reopen October 27th.
How do we, as the publishers of Florida's Poker Magazine, not know this? Unbelievable.
But, you know, I just had to laugh. Yeah. Here I am at 10 o'clock at night in the middle of nowhere, drove all those extra ways for a poker room, and it's closed. And, you know, I kind of felt like I was going to walk back out, and John Candy was going to be there and raise his hand and like, sorry, folks, poker room's closed. Moves outside, should have told you. And at this point, you're just so late. You know, I felt like going to the sporting goods store and getting a BB gun, walking in there and...
Yeah,
and make him, hey, we're playing poker.
You know, I gotta tell you, you've revealed your movie taste pretty graphically today. Nothing like National Lampoon's Vacation and a little Animal House to get your day started. Well, I do have to tell you that on your way home, one of us got to play poker.
Okay.
I was feeling a little better, so I decided to go on full tilt and play a little cash game. So I was up, I think it was a 25-cent, 50-cent cash table. And I was up, about $5 or $6. And there was a guy at the table who had about 15 or so left. And I want to tell you about a hand.
All right.
And I want you to tell me.
Our listeners love hands.
Yeah. It happened to me, so I don't get a poker whiz wheel or anything out of this. But it's six-handed, because that's the only way I play cash games. I won't play them full table.
Interesting.
And I'm on the button, and I'm up, like I said, about $6. And it folds to me, and I look down at two black nines. So, actually, they weren't black, because I used the Lucky Charms colors.
Okay, so,
But it was a
turquoise,
a black nine of spades, and a green, black, green number nine. So, I make it $1.50 to go. Feeling my oats. I'm up after only like two orbits or whatever. I'm up like $6 already and feeling pretty good. And the guy in the big blind, the small blind folds. The guy in the big blind min raises me to $3, and he only had like 15 to start. So I said, all right, I'll just call. I hate pocket nines, but I'll just call. Maybe I'll hit a set.
Yeah, everybody hates pocket nines.
So the flop comes ace, nine, six. And you know how whenever we do a hand of the week, the flop is always rainbow to make it convenient so they don't just say that they, we're going to worry about a flush draw. Well,
exactly.
This really was rainbow. It was like ace of clubs, nine of spades, nine of hearts or whatever, and then six of spades. So he checks to me. No, he bets out. He bets out half the pot. He bets like $3, okay? So I decide to raise him. Because I believe in my whole heart that he has like an ace in his hand. He has like ace king or
in your whole heart.
Yeah. So I don't know what else to think. So I have middle set. I'm not getting away from his hand. He's only got $15. He bet out like three or four. So it was like $10-$11 in the pot already. He only had like 10 or 11 left. If I was gonna raise him to 12, might as well put them all in. So I put them all in because I figured he couldn't fold his ace. So he's waiting. And waiting, and I'm like, all right, I'm not gonna lose on this hand because I'm not gonna get sucked out on because I got middle set. And no matter what he has, unless he has 7-8, there's really no draw here. So then he requests time. I'm like, geez, what the hell could he have? So now I'm thinking maybe he's got pocket sixes and he's wondering if he's beat with a better set or if he has ace king and he's just wondering if I have a set. Waiting and waiting. So what do you think he had? And he went right down to the zero count of the timer and then called.
I'm going to say deuce tray, and he was multi-tabling and wasn't paying attention.
Well, no, he called. No, he had pocket rockets.
Wow, that's a pretty good hand in that situation.
The man had top set.
Yeah.
And requested time. Now, I had only been there for like... two orbits, and I hadn't said anything to anyone. I hadn't bullied anyone. I just happened to catch a good hand and whatever, and was playing pretty cleanly. So I didn't do anything to bust this guy's chops. I didn't do any. I mean, I wasn't even talking. I didn't do chat, nothing. I just got there. And why would this guy do this to me? So what I'm asking really is, do you think, and I asked him after it was over, and this is the sign of my maturity online. Okay. I'm definitely getting better at this because in the old days, set over set happens to me all the time, and it still does. But in this case, I didn't freak out. I didn't throw my hat across the room. I didn't stomp on the bed and say I'm never going to play poker again. I just merely typed in, I can't believe you slow rolled me like that. And then he didn't type anything back.
Of course.
So a couple hands later, I typed in, did you think that, you were beat? Because it's impossible.
Yeah.
Or, and he didn't answer me. So eventually he left. And then I still actually posted a profit, so I felt pretty good about that coming back after that hand too. So that's another sign of my online maturity.
Well, that's good.
But Scott, do you think that he was being a jerk, or do you think that there was something in him saying this guy could have 7-8, and I don't want to lose my whole stack to a suck out?
It's impossible to say. I mean, it could be that. He could be, like I said, he could be multi-tabling and just wasn't paying attention. It could be...
Well, you requested time.
Yeah, I know, because maybe he got back and wasn't thinking. And the other thing, too, is he probably could have, how many times do you do this, particularly if you're multi-tabling or you're watching TV and you get distracted, you not see the ace on the flop, As odd as that sounds. So maybe he just thought he had top pair and had to think and then used the time and then finally realized, oh, okay.
Man.
So, you know, I don't know. My gut says he probably was a jerk. There's a lot of jerks online.
But I was just happy that he didn't have a full 50 or 60 bucks at the table to bust me with it. You know, all I lost was like 15, and I was already up 6, so I was only down about 9.
Well, but you would have learned not to get it all in with the big stack with a set on online.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is that...
Because you know there's going to be another set out there.
There's no way I'm getting away from that hand. There's no way. There's no way the guy in the big blind, I could put him on pocket aces with a min raise, and then, you know... So there was just no way. And then betting out with no draw, there's no way I'm going to put him on pocket aces there. So, yeah, I would have lost my entire stack no matter what, Scott. This is an Omaha, you know, shorthanded
right,
with two guys behind me in a no-limit hold'em game. And I flop middle set with no draw to worry about. I'm losing all my money there. So,
but, you know, again, I think this illustrates how we are different poker players, Chris.
Yes, we are different poker players.
And in case there was any question about whether we are different types of poker players, the good folks at PokerNatural.com laid that to rest. Now, this is a website that I learned about a while back, and for some reason it's never made it onto a show, and I don't know whether that's really in existence, because the ad on their page from when I printed out was for the 2007 World Series of Poker, which is probably over by now.
Well, it has a delayed final table now, so you never know.
That's true. But anyway, it's PokerNatural.com, and their gimmick is to let you take this 30-question quiz. Not really, quiz is probably the wrong word, but assessment of who you are, and then it gives you a profile using kind of earthy tones of who you are. And then I think then their sales pitch is click here to have us help you maximize that persona when you play. And, of course, we're cheap, so we didn't go to part two. Exactly. But we did the free assessment, and you were giggling as you were filling yours out. I was also rather giddy, and I don't think either one of us are surprised with our results.
No, it's pretty cool.
I apparently am what the Poker Natural calls the earth-type player, or a mountain, in parentheses. I don't know why they need a two.
Mine had two too, but we'll let you talk about yours first.
But apparently, I am solid as a rock. You know, me and Bob Seger hanging out.
No. That's not. That's like peaches and herb. Solid as a rock.
But I'm like a rock.
Or something. Like one of those. You know,
Bob Seger.
Yeah, no, you're not like a rock.
All right, well, I'm solid as a rock, and it's almost impossible to move. Of course, my wife will tell you that from our arguments that it's impossible to move.
Wow.
The good part is that others will be cautious of you at the table if you make a big move. The bad part is that your actions are very predictable and others usually know where you stand.
See, now I agree with 50% of that.
Oh, there's part of that you don't agree with.
When you make a move at the table, we don't worry about it. But the other part, that your actions are very predictable, now that I agree with.
Now, it goes on to say my natural style is seen in about 44% of the general population.
So you're common.
So I'm a minority now. you may not find a lot of company at the poker table, even in local charity events and friendly games. Your type, while seen in the general population more frequently, may be a bit more rare in poker events. You are the solid and steady type, who may be relied upon and valued in many circumstances, but you tend to be very predictable at the table through your tight and passive style. You may lose less money than the other aggressive types, but you rarely win as much as you could.
Well, clearly, the brass at Poker Natural never played limit hold'em with you in our home game.
Well, you know, and when I was filling this out, I saw a little Jekyll and Hyde in my answers, because there were times that I defaulted to the home game where I'm far more aggressive, and then times that I obviously...
Well, there were some,
all
some specific
other poker
online questions.
Exactly.
Too. But yeah, and the way they phrased some of the questions, they're almost identical questions, but they phrased them differently so that you could answer them differently.
Well,
it was really
weird.
Well,
yeah, I think that's a standard kind of a quiz taking kind of thing to make sure that you're not trying to snow them.
Okay,
but
so,
you are not a an earth mountain type, I'm guessing, Chris.
No, according to the Poker Natural, I am water or stream, which I guess combined you and I make mud is what that means, because you're dirt and I'm water. And
you know, I'm sorry, I'd rather be a mountain than a stream. That's just me. But
all right, well, then here's what it said about me. You tend to flow calmly within given boundaries and play mostly good hands, but can turn aggressive and dangerous at a moment's notice as others find it hard to predict what is beneath the surface.
No, we know what's beneath the surface. We just don't summon it.
Hey, listen to this. Your natural type comprises about 15%
of the general population.
Wow, you're
even more minority than me.
That's right.
We definitely will qualify for minority financing now.
So you normally will not have a lot of company like yourself in friendly or local events. Your type will become more common among professional poker players or higher stakes games, but you will not likely play at many tables with a majority of water type players.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the alpha male thing.
Your tendency to play less hands, and then in parentheses it says the right hands, along with a style of betting that is aggressive at the right time, makes you a potential formidable foe. For this reason, you are not always welcome at casual, friendly games. The bottom line is that you don't care because you can be very friendly as you leave the table with most of the chips.
Yeah. Okay, I think they nailed you.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm not complaining at all.
Yeah.
But really, you know, you and me combined, that's not a good thing. What do we do when going into business doing the show together if we make mud?
Yin and yang, buddy. Yin and yang.
That is cool. But I really like it. And I really advise everyone to take it. And you know.
Yeah, it takes like 5 minutes at most.
It's like really
fun.
Like
so.
Two questions. I mean, two choices per question. It's not hard at all. Hey, did you answer the, like, who's your favorite player questions? Or
I did, and I don't like those open-ended ones.
No.
You know, I think I put down Dewey Tomko just because we were just talking about him, which is probably true. And then Jennifer Harmon, which I'm not sure if she's my favorite female. She probably is.
I put down Scott Long.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're trying to throw it off by putting a solid Earth Mountain
You're clearly my favorite poker player.
But then they ask you what player you play most like. So that seems, I mean, I guess those are two different, and it you know, I put down Dan Harrington, so it's a different player. So, but it seems like a very similar question.
Hey, you know
right?
Who I put down?
Who?
Phil Hellmuth.
Ah, yes. So it probably just nullified your other 30 questions and just went straight off of that one.
Yeah, it might have. I don't think it had any bearing on it, but you never know.
No, Chris, we would love to get good comments on our forum at antiupmagazine.com/forum.
Yep.
And one guy, Zorag, is just burning up the forum.
Yep.
He's certainly going for the forum posting record, and we love it because he posts good stuff.
He's what Spaniards would say, en fuego.
Or doesn't Dan Patrick say that?
He used to. He doesn't do anything anymore.
Oh, okay.
We never see him on TV anymore.
Yeah, I can't say it for...
He used to say, en fuego, el fuego, and that little old lady who taught Spanish wrote him a letter and said, you're saying the fire. You don't mean to say that he is fire, do you?
And so he took a poker natural and became the fire /
the fire
burner.
All right, so let's not ramble on.
All right, okay. So anyhow, there was a post this week that I found fascinating and captivated my mind for a while from Zorag. Apparently on PokerStars, they have these things called double or nothing sit and goes.
Oh, man, you got to tell me what that is.
Okay, apparently half of the field, in a theoretical, let's say it's a dollar plus 10 tournament.
Okay.
Five players get $2, so they double up. The other five players get nothing. So it's not this kind of normal payout structure for a sit and go. But of course, PokerStars gets a dime out of everyone anyhow, so they're the real winners.
Yeah, they don't.
In this. But, you know, he posed a couple questions to us. One, you know, he did some math, and obviously the break-even proposition, you need to win 55% of the time to overcome the rake. So it's kind of like playing roulette. You know, if you're betting on red or black, you know, it's not really 50-50 because you get those little green guys, the 0 and 00.
Right.
So he says if you play 6 out of 10, you're up one buy-in. So that makes sense. So he wants to know first whether this is a sucker's proposition.
You know, I really haven't given a lot of thought to this, but my first impression is that if you want to play heads-up poker, it's the exact same arrangement. Two players play, one player loses the money. So this way, you get the same kind of payoff, and you don't have to worry about 10th, 9th, 8th, or 6th, because you're just hoping to make 5th. So if you make a decent hand in one pot, it can go away. You don't even have to play anymore. Just go on and play another tournament because really you're going to be in the money with like $3,000 or $4,000 grand.
To be honest, I would rather play this than heads up using that logic.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
You get a better shot of actually getting your money.
Absolutely. I mean, I how many times have we played poker and gone out fourth, you know, out of the money or third out of the money?
Yep.
You know, we always finish fourth or third or second or first. I mean, you never finish 10th unless you're, you know, just on a bad draw
bad
or something.
Yeah, something like that.
So I would clear, if I'm going to play this, I would just play it to make a decent hand and then just cruise or, you know, just play my normal game, you know. And I can also see a lot of, not collusion, obviously, but I could see a lot of that understood kind of, hey, there's five of us, we're not making any more money, but this is one short stack, let's just call them down.
Exactly.
You know, I can see that happening just like any other tournament. And, yeah, I don't think it's a sucker's proposition. I mean, a lot of people play heads up. Check out the heads up tab on any of these sites, and you'll see a lot of people playing each other. So Clearly, it's something that people are interested in. And if they don't mind making that kind of money at a time, then why
not? Yeah, I mean, I guess that if there is a sucker's proposition in here, is that you get to play a lot of these to increase your bankroll.
Right, exactly.
Because you're just not going to get that big score. You're just going to keep churning them over.
Of course, if you're playing a $100 one, you know, every time you sit down, you make $100. That's not too bad either.
That is true.
Whether or not you got the cojones to do it.
Exactly. You know? That's right, because his was just an
example.
An example. So, so I don't know how high they go in levels. Now, a second question is that he's seen two strategies being used, super aggressive and super tight.
I agree with both those, really. Super aggressive, you accumulate chips like you would in any other tournament. You accumulate enough chips, you're guaranteed top five. And super tight, another thing, you let other people get picked off, and then you squeak into the money. So either way, I don't really disagree with either of those.
Okay, well,
it's the middle of the road, I think, that I get screwed.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, too. But obviously, when you sit down at one, you're not going to... Are you going to float between the two?
You're going to
go in with a strategy. Are you going to go in with the aggressive or tight?
I never go in with a strategy to anything. You can't do that. I mean, any conversation you have with any pro will tell you, you sit down at the table and you assess the table first. So if I can see the guy on the left of me is going to fold every time I raise, I'm going to be aggressive. You know what I mean? Or if the two people to my left or three people to my left, it just depends. You know, you can't sit down on a table.
So
and
you'll
go,
sit down
for
a couple hands and get a feel for the table.
Oh, at least in orbit. Right. You know, I mean, unless I get a massive hand. That
and probably,
play,
I was thinking in orbit, you're probably going to lose two or three people anyhow, because there are going to be some people that are recklessly aggressive to double up.
I'll play ABC poker unless I absolutely know the field for the first orbit, and then I'll make my decisions after that. But I wouldn't just sit there and come in and say, I'm going to be aggressive. No, it doesn't work. What if you're sitting there with a bunch of other aggressive guys who are way better than you? Then what do you do? Oh, now you got to change? Well, if you got to change, then
well,
you might
but the super aggressive kind of takes out the whole skill. And in fact, it actually becomes a bingo at that point. In fact, I think, if we go back to his example of a dollar buy-in, if your bankroll is much higher than that, that's probably a strategy is to multi-table these things and just go all in with the first paint card you get and hope you double up. And if you're not, then you turn back into another one. And do volume. I don't know. Interesting satellite strategy.
I know that as an addendum to this, too, he said the best strategy is just go all in the first hand. He sent me a little message about it. So that's the way to go in these. Go all in the first hand. And then somebody calls you, you double up, you can cruise to the...
Yeah, I don't think I'm going all in with seven deuce or something. Like I said, you know, get a paint card if you, you know, boom. But I think you're probably right. I think let it go to an orbit and see a couple of people knocked out and know what kind of table you're at and react to it.
Well, just like in this tournament where there's five winners and five losers, duplicate poker is in the news today.
Uh-huh.
They are shutting their doors. They are closing down.
They are closing down.
They are sending out that same email that everyone sends when they shut down, saying, hopefully in the future you'll see Duplicate Poker back.
See, I was trying to duplicate everything you're saying, but you weren't taking the bait.
I totally got it.
Yeah.
But I wanted to see if you could actually keep up with me. And you couldn't.
I'm a mountain. I don't need to keep up with you. I just need to stand here. Wait for the jokes to come to me.
You know, the snow from your mountain feeds my stream. This is getting way out of there. I'm not following that conversation any further.
But you know, here's the thing. I never played. I never tried Duplicate. Did you?
No. I looked at their site, but I never played on it.
But we did get a couple emails from listeners over the years that had played and were kind of down on it. There seemed to be a flaw in it. And to be honest, I don't remember off the top of my head what necessarily the flaw was, but. We haven't gotten emails from people that say they love this site, so I'm not condemning it, but the emails we have said that there was something about it that just didn't work out. I mean, on the surface, it sounds like a great idea. You know, you got two set tables, and, you know, it takes kind of the luck out of it, but there seems to be a way that people were abusing the system, and that's probably a wrong word. I don't mean that in the terms of online, but, I mean, I found a legal loophole strategy that has diminished the...
It's weird,
the skill
too,
part.
It shut down so fast. And they cited the world market and how bad the economy is and everything for reasons why.
Of course.
But they had just sent us a few emails, too, within the last month or two saying, hey, have you tried this out? Would you be interested in playing on our site? Blah, blah. And it was for us, like me and you, not general email. And, you know, we said, well, I don't know. Are you interested in advertising with the time with our magazine? And then they're like, we'll let you know. We'll get back to you on that. And, of course, I never did. So... Clearly, they knew where they were going and just didn't tell us, you know. But, I feel bad another site going down, you know.
And I think there are a couple other ones that are trying to do what Duplicate did. And I'm guessing probably a twist on it and probably fix whatever that flaw was. I don't remember off the top of my head. But maybe there's also some other people that will jump up and put out a better a better product. Or
I've just seen them on TV, too. Dubuque has been running commercials like they're on the World Poker Tour or
something. They've been doing a lot of press releases lately, too, on interesting things. I mean, I think we actually referred to one on a podcast a couple weeks ago, a survey they did on, I think, on the presidential election. And they seem to be doing a bunch of those, which, you know, it's an interesting way of getting some extra pub. But apparently it didn't come enough for them. So but we always feel bad when other people crash and burn. But
I always feel like I should play taps when... when we report on these things.
Yeah, I still have my cornet in the closet at home. I need to sell that somehow. God.
Man, track star and cornet. And you must have had all the girls
yes,
in high school,
exactly.
buddy.
Exactly. There's a long line of rejections in my school.
Unbelievable. So we got some good news to report.
Absolutely.
Kind of like some housekeeping today. You know, the great studios that we're at here at WDAE AM 620, the Sports Animal in Tampa, part of the Clear Channel family, has finally launched their poker club. And for us, it's really good because we're providing some content for them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's been a long time coming. They were struggling to try to find someone to host their little free roll tournament. They have a free roll tournament locally here at Tampa Bay Downs coming up on October 26th at 1 p.m. And it's just going to be a free tournament. You can win a trip to Mexico. You can win $500. You can win an entry into their Halloween tournament on November 1st. So a lot of good stuff's coming out of it, but we're really excited that the club is up and running, and you can go on their website. Just go look for WDAE.com. It's actually 620WDAE.com, I think, and so you can check it out there. I need to do a Google search, too.
And, of course, you'll put a link on our
And I'll put a link on our
forum at aneupmagazine.com/forum.
I even announced it on our blog as well, at aneupmagazine.com/blog, and did a little news item on it. So we're pretty excited because, you know, that's the reason why we're here. You know, they're letting us use the studio and have this little agreement with them that we'll provide poker content for them and they'll let us use the studio for the show.
Yeah, and as much as we're trying to unite the Florida poker players with their magazine, they're trying to unite the Tampa Bay players here locally.
Absolutely.
So it's a win-win.
Win-win. We're all excited for it.
And so they got some good stuff, so check it out there.
Yeah. You know, we always talk about the Silks on the show. I wonder if anybody's getting ticked off about that. We need to start talking about other places, too, but... anyway, we have more stuff about the Silks, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, the good folks out there, Patrick and Peter Murphy that run it, they're trying their best to get Omaha going there at the Silks, and they're doing it on quiet nights, which is Wednesday. In fact, I was out there last night playing, and it is quiet on Wednesdays. But so they had an Omaha tournament last month on a Wednesday. This coming week on Wednesday, next Wednesday, they're doing two Omaha high-low tournaments, a daytime and a nighttime. And at night, they've invited us to come out and play, so I'm going to go head out there. And so if any Antiup Nationals want to join me at the Silks on Wednesday for the Omaha
Hilo,
I do not know the date, but it's next Wednesday. So whenever you're listening to it, so just go out there on Wednesday.
It's the 15th, I think.
All right, 15th.
October 15th.
I trust you.
Well, what I do know a date for is the One-Eye Jacks is going to have another Pros versus Joes.
Uh-huh.
And our good friend Gavin Smith.
Yes.
He's going to be the star. It's going to be called the Gavin Smith Invitational. It's going to be November 26th to the 29th. It's going to be four tournaments. The main event's going to be the day after Thanksgiving. They're actually going to have a tournament Thanksgiving night. But the main event's going to be like $790 buy-in. And there's a bounty on his head for all the events. So you know I'm going to go down there and talk to him.
Yeah.
And let him know who we are.
Exactly.
Because he didn't know who we were. So I'm going to remind him who we are. So anyway, in our magazine, we're going to have an ad for that. And on our blog, too, we have a little announcement about that tournament. So if you're interested in going... or finding out about it, or flying in for it. You got plenty of time. It's not till the end of November, so.
And then, of course, if people aren't anywhere near the local area, they could still play poker with us in a monthly poker series called Apes.
Are you going to be able to play in it?
I hope so. Here's the thing. I am flying up to Columbus for my only Ohio State trip I'm making this year. It's kind of a downer, but big Penn State game that weekend. And because of the crazy air affairs here, I had to fly up on Thursday, so I got to find an internet connection somewhere in the great state of Ohio to be able to play, because it's Thursday night, October 23rd, 9 p.m. Eastern, Limit Omaha 8, and that's the game I've been playing a lot lately, so I don't want to miss this one.
$5 plus 50 cents on Full Tilt, and the password is anti-up, all one word. And let me ask you now, I've seen Ohio State play this year. Is there actually a big game left for them? I mean,
Well, the Penn State will be huge.
Why would that be big?
Because they've only lost one game.
Last year,
national championship game had a two-loss team, Chris, so... You can
that
mock me all you want now.
No,
the third loss, you can't really mock me anymore, because that's how crazy college football is.
You know, I care about college football about as much as I care about that piece of lint on the floor over there. So I just like teasing you a little bit, but
well,
I really
just
because
UConn last week.
I know. Finally, though, they had a better record than you did. First, look where they play. Hey, did you hear the hotline ringing before and we ignored it?
I did, yes, and we had to pause so we, you know, because people don't call right at the exact time that we went to hotline segment.
Yeah, I don't
it's
know.
A good thing it's a tape show.
I know. I mean, you know, you'd think we'd have a producer in here, you know, manning the phones, keeping it quiet, but no, it's always ringing, you know. You got to get that guy, wake him up. Anyway, it's the DB Dealer hotline clip, and let's just take a listen.
Hey, guys, my name's Mark. Big fan of the show. I just found it a few months ago and have been listening to the podcast. Enjoy it a lot. That's it. Enjoying the conversation on this week's show about the internet sites, and it reminds me of when I started on PokerStars. I was kicking ass for the first year or so, and then I think the variant set in and the donkeys figured things out. Ran bad for a while, couldn't win anything, switched over to Full Tilt. Did phenomenally well over there about a year or so, and, you know, things start to catch up with you. And I don't know. You always feel like these sites are watching out to make sure you don't get too good. Either that or I'm just not too good. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say. I don't want cards or free stuff or anything. Take care.
Well, you know, we got a couple calls on the hotline this week reacting to Dan's call last week about where to find the easy player.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, it's a topic, obviously, that people are thinking about. Very interesting.
Absolutely. I like I said, I just don't know if it happens anymore, you know. Hopefully all these other line sites will be able to come back and play in the United States and worldwide and get duplicate poker back on the map. And then we'll find some easier sites to play on. But right now, it's just so few sites that they're, you know, there's just saturated with good players only. So I don't know. Good luck to you guys. Appreciate it. Appreciate the call.
And the number once again.
I have it right here. You want me to say it?
I do, because you always forget, and it's very important because people don't know how to call if they don't know the number.
813-448-1120.
It is an unlisted number, you know, because we like to maintain our privacy here.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't want thousands and thousands of people here instead of, you know, millions. It's 813-448-1120. You call, we use your clip, we send you cards. Simple as that. Colombo is kicking it back in the island somewhere, having a Mai Tai with a big umbrella and, I don't know.
Yeah, I would like to take a Mai Tai vacation, yeah.
You're going to
I
Ohio.
Feel good for him.
Quit complaining. All right, so clearly he's taking a break, and he'll be back next week with a whole new one-minute mystery. But right now, let's move on to our main topic.
Want Rays news from real Rays fans? OutsPerSwing.com. OutsPerSwing.com has interviews, analysis, and all the breaking news for your Tampa Bay Rays. Are you looking for up-to-date news on the most exciting team in baseball? Check out OutsPerSwing.com. That's OutsPerSwing.com.
Are you looking for different ways to build your bankroll, decrease your variance, move up in limits, or discuss strategy? GetAstake.com has your back. At GetAstake.com, you can get staked into games and tournaments, or just hang out and have some fun. GetAstake.com even has live voice chat. Sign up using the referral code ANTIUP to enjoy special promotions just for ANTIUP listeners. And read more about GetAstake.com in the November issue of ANTIUP magazine. GetAstake.com has your back.
When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown.
This is Downtown Chad Brown, and I'm in the studio with ANTIUP.
So we talked earlier in the show about, you know, jokingly about a delayed final table, but of course we have a delayed final table coming up in November, November 9th,
mm-hmm.
And the guys at the table are dubbed the November 9.
Yes, I like
and,
that type.
And in Florida here, we have a player who actually now lives in L.A., but he cut his teeth, as we've been putting in the magazine, and he'll be our cover story too, David Chino Ream, and he talks about his nickname too. We had brought that up on the show in a few episodes back. He talks a little bit about that. Talked to him while he was in London for the EPT and the
wow,
World Series
yes.
out there. Anyway, here's my conversation with David Dream.
You've had a lot of success in the past, obviously, but what do you attribute this year's incredible success to?
To be honest with you, I think the biggest reason why I happen to like do well this year is because for some reason, just during the World Series, I happen to like always step it up and bring my A game. I, you know, when I'm with my friends and we're traveling, we're playing 12, like, I'm going to do good, I'm going to do good, I'm going to do good. I never like give it my full 100% and take it serious as much as I do, except for the World Series. It just so happened, I guess, I attribute being broke, man. Being broke and being in a hole is like, that'll definitely motivate you to want to, like, actually play to standard, up to par, and make you want to play good. And just being broke for, you know, a little over a year just makes you realize, like, the value of money, and it just makes you realize, like, what type of position you're in when you had money and you did well, and then when you, like, you know, screw it off, it makes you just appreciate it much more.
With all this money that's coming your way now, do you think that you'll have a better way to manage your bankroll so you don't go broke?
Yeah, I've been doing that ever since I made the final table. I definitely think I'll be managing my money better, and also just as far as, like, the way I play tournaments, I go in with more of a desire to do well, especially now than I did before. Like, I admit, I'll be the first to admit, sometimes some of the songs I played didn't really give it my full effort, you know?
Right.
But just now I just seem to give it a little more effort than I did before, and that, you know, that always helps.
Now, we see you at the final table and in all the photos with the Poker Stars logo. What's that relationship with them been like?
Oh, I mean, so far, so good. You know, I can't complain at all. Like, PokerStars, they're a great company to work for. They take care of their players, and they've definitely taken care of me and the other five members that are on the final table. You know, we get to come to London and play in the EPT and things like that. You know, they pay for our trip and stuff, so I can't complain at all. It's definitely, like, a benefit. It's a privilege to be able to do things like that. It's something that I wouldn't have been able to done had I not made the final table.
That's
so true. Yeah.
How do the two World Series compare, the one in London and, of course, the one in Vegas? What are the players like, and what are the differences?
Well, to be honest with you, the main event here in London was a lot tougher than the one in America. I'll be frank. Like, just as far as, like, the field was a lot tougher, a lot stronger, a lot harder to play against. The Europeans, I'd rather play, like, a tournament full of, like, amateurs who are just, like, taking a shot, chasing a dream, you know, like, trying to do what they see on TV and stuff. I'd rather play against a lot of those players as opposed to Europeans, because Europeans, they understand the game and they know what they're doing. They're just crazy, and it's always hard to put them on a hand and just, you know, and they have no fear. They'll, like, float you on the flop and try to outplay you, you know, and, you know, so you have to play cautious over a lot more, especially deep stack poker. You have to play a lot more cautious, and it's just, you know, I happen to get unfortunate, and it's part of the game.
Obviously, we're based in Florida, so, and you spent some time here. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? How long did you live here, and what was your time like here in Florida?
I actually lived all up and down, like, from Central Florida down to South Florida. I lived in Orlando, West Palm Beach, Fort Lauderdale, and Miami, and I lived in Florida maybe, like, I don't know, off and on. When I was younger, I lived in Florida, in West Palm, and then I moved. And then I moved back to Florida just because I was living with my father, and we moved because of his job. And but yeah, I spent, you know, I would say at least 10 years in Florida for sure.
Did you go to school here?
I graduated high school in West Palm Beach, but I didn't fully get my education in Florida, no.
Well, let me ask you this. What is your relationship with the Mizrakis? You know, we hear that you guys are friends, that you hooked up here in Florida, and they taught you poker. What exactly is that relationship like?
When I first started playing poker in a local Indian casino down in Florida, I met the Mizrakis, and this was maybe like 6 years ago, and you know, they were nice guys, and they knew a lot about poker, and they were just cool to hang out with, and you know,
okay,
it just clicked.
What are your memories of playing poker here in Florida?
It's kind of hard to say. Like, back then when I was playing poker in Florida, it was, I mean, when I played in the casinos, we'd be playing like sort of like a single table tournament. And they had like these $135 buy-in single tables, but it was Omahilo, it wasn't Nolan Maholden. But when I played in Florida, we played more in home games. You know, those were the good old days, I guess you could say, sort of like times, a lot has changed, you know, we've all grown up since then. But, you know, back then, like, it was more of like a family type atmosphere. Everyone knew everybody there, you know, and, you know, the game, like I was sometimes playing the game, and I would also deal in the game. And just like, everyone who played in the game and that came to the game, We're all sort of like a family, you know.
Were the Mizrakis part of that home game as well?
Yeah, Robbie brought me to that game first, and then he taught me how to deal, and you know, then that was it.
Now, what do you think of Florida poker and its limitations, and also what do you think of poker in general and how it's been going?
Oh, well, I love, like, where it's going and where it's at right now. Like, I hope it gets better and better. I hope it continues to grow and gets larger. Especially for, like, the opportunities that we're given, you know, like, if you're a true poker player and you can, you know, manage your bankroll right and withstand the variance of, like, tournament buy-ins and whatnot, you know, and you could just, you know, stay in action, you know, it's a great opportunity. It's the American dream for me. Like, you can just win a buku amount of money from, you know, a fairly, you know, relative buy-in, and you can just, if you happen to play well and get lucky, you know, a combination of both, you can, you know, have great success.
Now, a lot has been made of that warrant that was out for your arrest here in Hollywood, Florida, and I know you want to put that behind you, and that's fine. I'm just curious, what was your reaction after hearing this news, you know, the day after you're making, you know, the final table of your life?
Well, when I found out what it was actually for, then it wasn't really that big of a deal. I found it more, like, amusing and funny, like, you know, the day after I make the final table, they're coming out with stories, you know, trying to, like, you know, just put bad press out there against me. But it really wasn't a big deal at all, because I found out what it was, and it was just a, you know, very small thing that that I had to take care of. So, you know, it didn't really bother me that much. And actually, like, it, in a way, I sort of took it as a compliment, because it made me realize that I sort of made it, because, you know, if anyone's out there trying to find dirt on you and they posted about you, then it's basically, you know, it sort of tells you yourself personally, like, well, I made it this far, and, you know, they're trying to, you know, put a bad image out on me, and so, you know, it was for a trespassing charge. Like, one night, me and the Mizrachis and a whole bunch of friends, we were at the Diplomat, and it's a little place in Fort Lauderdale, and we were at the Diplomat, and I got charged for trespassing there, and I never went to court for it, so they made a warrant out for my arrest in the city of Hollywood, Florida. So, and I happened to move away from there after, so that's...
But you're all squared away now, right? You got it all taken care of?
Right. There's nothing serious at all.
All right, well, let's talk about the November 9 now. Obviously, you're short-stacked comparative to the other players' stacks, but how do you like your chances?
Well, I can't complain, you know. I'm there, you know. Anyone's got a shot. Anything can happen. Anyone who's a good poker player understands that, you know, anything can happen. So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily consider anyone more of a favorite than anyone else, regardless of its sex. You know, obviously, you know, if you ask me who's more of a favorite, Dennis or Kelly, you know, Dennis is obviously, math-wise, he's a favorite because he's got more chips and he can just withstand beats and whatnot, but, you know, it's anybody's game. You know, anyone can go out there and actually win it.
Now, there had been a lot of speculation about this delayed final table and what the players would do in their off time. Did you do anything to prepare for this final table yet? Have you scouted any players, anything like that?
Not yet. When I get home, and we've got like all the ESPN episodes, we've got them pre-recorded. So once they all come out, I'm going to definitely watch those episodes of how the other players play their hands. But no, I haven't really done any actually scouting or investigating on any other players yet. But yeah, me and my buddies, we're gonna actually have a sit down and try to come up with like a sensible strategy.
Okay.
But for the most part, there's not really much you could do. You know, you just gotta play your hands the best you can and hopefully, you know, win the pot.
And what are your impressions of these players? You know, you mentioned you have played a lot against a few of them. So what do you feel about these guys?
They all play good, you know, they all deserve to be there, and they all obviously, to get through like a field of like 6,000-7,000 people, you gotta know what you're doing, and to be able to like just, you know, switch gears at certain points, I think all these gentlemen at the final table are very capable of taking it down, and I just hope, to be honest with you, I just hope I'm a lot luckier than I'm on that day.
A lot of coaching companies or poker coaching sites have come out and said that they were going to help, you know, some of the players at the final table if they wanted their assistance. Has anyone approached you? Obviously, you're a professional player. Has anyone approached you and said, hey, I can help you out with these other guys?
No, no one's actually come up to me and offered me anything like that, but I have gotten a lot of friendly advice from a lot of well-respected players, so I listen with open ears to everything they said and just try to formulate, like, the best outcome for everything that they've told me.
All right, last question. Can you tell me a little bit about your nickname? Should people be offended by this name? What's the story behind it?
Well, I mean, that depends on who you ask and how they take it. For me, I'm not offended by it at all. It's just when I lived in Florida, in South Florida, there's a lot of Cubans and Spanish people live down there.
Yeah.
And
you know, whenever they see an Asian person, they just, you know, they say Chino, you know, so it just happened to stick amongst me and my friends, and just something that stuck. It's not, I don't think anyone who has a nickname normally ever, like, really chooses that nickname. I think it's always chosen by, like, their friends, you know.
Yeah.
Most of the time, it's, like, a nickname that you don't like, but I don't care, you know. You can call me whatever you want as long as I win for the rest of the day.
You want to reach thousands of poker players in more than 30 countries around the world? The award-winning Anti-Up podcast is your best bet. Go to antiupmagazine.com or call 727-331-4335 to explore advertising opportunities starting at just $100.
And would you like to read Anti-Up magazine? Go to antiupmagazine.com and subscribe for just $25 a year. Do you get enough? Poker, that is. Get in more playing time by buying her a gift card from Red Bamboo Medispa in Northwood Plaza, Clearwater. Call 727-726-6100 or visit redbamboomedispa.com. The winning cards are gift cards from Red Bamboo Medispa.
Once again, our hand of the week brought to you by the good folks at the Poker Whiz Wheel at pokerwhizwheel.com. 169 starting Texas Hold'em hands, all in one easy-to-spin wheel. And use the code ANTIUP08, get 20% off of your order. Now, of course, this week, Chris, the Whiz Wheel is going to be in the overdrive here because we have a Omaha high-low hand. The Whiz Wheel is pre-programmed for Hold'em. We probably almost need, like, you know, maybe like that big Price is Right wheel to handle Omaha calculations. That'd probably be the size. Can you imagine walking up to the table with an Omaha Whiz Wheel and plopping it down? Excuse me, pardon me. Come on, three.
I need two seats. Table 12. Well, let me ask you this. Maybe
come on,
we
ace.
Maybe we could take two cards and then look at the Whiz Wheel and then take two more cards, look at the Whiz Wheel, and then combine the colors, and if the colors together make like green, then it's starting in.
Ooh, it's almost like finger painting.
Yeah, exactly.
Back to elementary school.
Yellow and blue make green.
All right, well, our hand is from Zorag, who's making a second appearance here, I believe.
Man, he's all over the show.
And
maybe we should have him as a fellow host of the show.
Ooh, that'd be crazy.
Any up with Scott, Chris, and Zorag.
All right, so it is a $2 plus 20 cent Omaha high-low pot limit online tournament on PokerStars.
So it's just straight PLO, or it's PLO 8, you said?
PLO 8.
Ooh, okay.
Yes.
Now, you're good high-low at these. You like these.
I've been doing pretty well at these lately. Right.
So you're going to definitely contradict whatever I say in this.
Maybe. We'll see. Right. We'll see.
All right, let's see what happens.
All right, so it's level 4 here, and I'm looking at the chip stacks, and the highest is 6,300, the lowest is about 22, Zorag has about 5,500. Looks like he's second chip leader at this table.
Okay, we have 5,500.
Yeah, and somebody's sitting out. I always like when people sit out in tournaments.
Kind of weird.
Weird.
Maybe he's going to the bathroom. Give the guy a break.
Well, you can take the laptop with you, man.
You know, I always type in BRB, BRB, because be right back, bathroom break. Yeah. I always type that in, but no one gets it.
No.
Maybe I should do BRB2.
I mean, what are you trying to get a vanity plate or something? Just spell it out. All right, so we have a fold from early position, a call, another fold, two more calls. This is kind of typical in, in Omaha High Low. No one really wants to raise pre-flop without a big hand. They want to see how the flop comes. Small blind folds. Our hero is in the big blind with king of spades, eight of clubs, queen of clubs, six of clubs.
Definitely not a raising hand.
No, this is a hand that I normally probably would fold almost everywhere.
I would fold unless I'm seeing it for free, which
exactly.
is what he is.
And so. We are seeing it for free, so we will check, and our hero agrees. Very good.
Cool.
Flop comes five of hearts, nine of spades, king of spades.
Okay, so all we really have is one pair.
No, we have a straight here, I believe.
You screwed up this hand. You said king of spades, eight of clubs, queen of clubs, six of clubs.
Yes.
You said the flop was five of hearts, nine of spades, king of spades.
Seven of spades.
Oh, you said king of spades. I wrote it down.
They can't flop a card that's in her hand.
That's what I'm saying. You said king of spades. No. I'm gonna play it over and over and over again.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. All right, five of hearts, nine of spades, seven of spades. We flop a straight.
We flop a straight. Sweet. And there's a low draw, but right now you're good to scoop right now. So there's a lot in the pot. I'd bet pot.
And you know what? I might agree here. The problem is we don't really have backup.
No, that's true.
You know, we have the king of spades, but that doesn't really help you. I mean, obviously, you can't make a flush, but, you know, if you have the ace of spades, you can kind of represent, because you know the other person doesn't have the nuts, but the king of spades doesn't let you do that.
Right.
And there's two low cards, so we're probably really susceptible to getting, you know, losing a low. I mean, all of our 8 and 6 qualify as a low.
Yeah.
But a very bad one.
We're not going to get a low out of this.
So here's probably the big dilemma here is that, you know, we bet pot here. We're probably going to get called by some lows and probably by some flush draws. And then we're going to be put to a test on that next card if a low card or a spade comes.
Well, here's my dilemma, too, is you have to be careful if you have no backup because somebody could have the same straight as you and have the nut flush draw. They could have the ace, deuce of spades and then also have, you know, the 6-8. Of hearts or whatever.
Exactly.
So you got to be careful. The next card is going to be key to this hand, I think.
Yeah, so, you know, oh boy, it's so tough. You know, you almost want to take a shot here at a pot and just try to drive people out.
Let me ask you this.
But you know people aren't going to go out, so maybe you bet a little less and just...
Now, is there any reason to check here? I'm just asking.
No, there could be a reason to check.
To get someone else to bet, and then you have
more money
that
you can make. Yeah, because then if somebody bets, then you can bet pot, do a check raise, and,
exactly.
And make it a little more difficult for people to stick around. That's probably a good thing to consider, probably.
It's a good strategy if I know what the other players are playing like. If I know someone's real aggressive and always bets the flop no matter what, then I might consider it. So, again, it's all that depends stuff. But if I think they are aggressive, I might check and then be able to bet more, check raise. So.
Yeah, and, you know, I might not even be fine. I may not even have a problem with just checking and, you know, hoping this holds up, too. I mean... you know, you'd like to get value out of a flop like this, but you're probably, I mean,
right.
It's hard to imagine you're a favorite here. I mean, you're probably going to lose half the pot at least, and you're really susceptible to losing more. So there's probably a case to be made for not putting anything else into this and just hope it checks down and you win.
Yeah. Of course, we've pretty much just covered every
exactly.
possible
so
angle.
We're not really helping here. So we'll let Zorak do what he's going to do, and then...
All right,
mock
so
him for it.
If I knew everybody else was aggressive, I would check raise. If I thought there were rocks like you, I would bet out.
You know what, actually, I'm going to do? I'm going to put out a feeler bet, which is probably wrong, because certainly it's not going to drive any lows out.
Well, if you want to finish on the bubble like Scott, put out a feeler bet.
Okay, and there we go. See, now we got somewhere. Very good. All right, Zorak bets 450.
How big was the pot again? I forgot.
Doesn't really say here, but we had one, two, three. Yeah, that was pot.
Oh,
that's
pot. Okay, so it's like, all right.
All right, he gets two calls. He only chases one person away.
All right.
All right, so now the pot's pretty healthy here. The turn is the 8 of spades.
Yeah, it
sucks. And this is what we were afraid of. So now the flush got there. The low
higher
got
straight,
there.
Higher straight got
there. There's a higher straight there.
Yeah, this sucks.
We're screwed.
Yeah.
So, you know, we put the 450 out. We tried our best. I think maybe now, you know, now we're not committing anything more to this hand.
Yeah, I would check.
All right, so that's exactly what our hero does. The guy who's sitting out is back now, by the way.
Thanks. Thanks for that update. Everything came out okay, buddy? Everything good in that break?
The next player bets. There's a call, and he gets back to us.
How much did he bet?
500, sorry.
Yeah.
So it's quite a bit less than the pot, but it's a generous bet.
I can't improve. I'm only playing for half the pot now because clearly someone's got a low. And I just consider myself lucky that I can get away from it. It's the best part about being in Omaha is to be able to get away from a hand. You don't have the nuts anymore. You got
to
get out.
Exactly. And Omaha makes it a lot easier to be able to get away from stuff because...
I mean, even if you're wrong, it makes no difference. It only costs you 500 or 400 after the flop. So I'd get away from it. We still have 5,100 left.
Yep. You took your best shot and ready to go. Now, of course, it wouldn't be a hand of the week if you folded here. So Zorak calls.
Okay.
Wait to see what's going on. And the river becomes the 6 of spades.
So we have two pair and a straight.
Sadly, you can only play one. Damn. I would suggest you play the straight.
All right, I'll play the straight. Now, we do have the king of spades in our hand, but likely the ace of spades could be out. So
yeah, I was
going
to say,
really
if you're going to try to represent, that's probably what you could do. The problem is that the low is out there, too, so you're not going to be able to... get lows out, so you're really kind of reckless in trying to do that, particularly because you don't have the nut card in your
hand. I'm in Zorak's shoes, I check.
All right, good. We all agree. He checks. There's a bet of 1,100 from the next player. The next player calls short for all in, gets back to us.
Yeah, I can't call.
All right, good. Because we all agree.
All right.
What we see is a high is a pair of 10s, low is ace deuce.
So tens?
Pair of tens takes it.
Tens won the hand?
Yeah.
Wow, that's sick. That's sick. Especially because it's straight on board.
Exactly. And this is what I think drives people crazy with Omaha, particularly Omaha 8, is if you're playing well, you're going to do this. You're going to lay down the best hand a lot because the board just looks so scary and you can't take a chance on it.
I mean, think about it. He has like the 87th best hand there. And yet it's the best hand. Wow, that's pretty wild. I always get shocked when I see stuff like that. You know, I was playing stud 8 last night and I was betting my low. And two guys are calling me the whole way. When it got to the river, I bet my low, and anything could have beaten my hand. Anything. And they both folded. And I thought, oh my God, I won this hand with like 9 high. And same thing, you know, it's just, you look at that hand, you think, oh, it's too scary that he could have anything. And then, you know, so I don't blame him for folding. I really don't. And I would have folded earlier, so.
And the thing is not to be discouraged by this and play it differently next time. Right. Aside from maybe the bet. I mean, you certainly don't want to commit any more chips to this, so.
Right.
And, you know, it's an aggressive move by the lows there to bet their lows, particularly when the spades come. You know, I don't know what their other cards were, whether they had... No, they didn't have any backup on the low, either one of them.
See, no, a check raise would have worked if someone else bet, because I think that pocket tens would have gotten out of the way with a check raise if someone had bet after he checked. So I definitely probably would have checked there or bet pot.
It's tough. It's a $2, too. You know, people are learning to play. So, you know, the one I played last night, the play was just absolutely terrible, what people were calling with. So that's the other thing, too.
Well, if I have to take a stand on this hand, I would be the extremist. I would do either check and then raise, or I would bet pot. I wouldn't do what we did and just do a feeler bet. Because, like I said, got no information out of you, and you didn't get anybody to fold, and you built a bigger pot to be scared by later when the spade came. So I would have done one or the other. I wouldn't have done the middle-of-the-road thing there. So anyway, that's just me.
All right, well, Jason went on to finish 122nd, top 119 cash, so he is in the illustrious Bubble Club with me.
So
he says he could afford the money. But
we just gave away his name. You called him Jason.
Yeah, well.
He's Zorag, man.
Well, Jason Zorag. Zorag Jason.
When you're talking about Batman, you don't say, you know, oh, there's Bruce.
You do, actually. Well, if you know that stuff.
Well, we do.
It's a name-dropping thing.
But you don't do it if you live in Gotham City. You get your ass kicked. All right. Another good show.
Yes,
Scott, thanks for showing up. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, and I'm large in Brighton, the studio as a mountain here. So,
well, then I'm going to stream on out of here. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
And we will see you at the table. Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@annieupmagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@annieupmagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network. Okay, like when I say October 10th, yeah, you're listening to Best Poker Podcast on the planet. Once I say on the planet, break into your story like right away. Okay. That way I don't have to say, so Scott, you know what I mean? You could, it's your lead, so. Ready? It's October 10th and you're listening to the Best Poker Podcast on the internet. Jesus. What do I have to do? Do I have to, like, put a shiny freaking object in front of you?
I got confused because I was drinking my water and thinking, and all right, so on the internet, that's my cue. See, I need a little girl over here with the cards and stuff.
Oh, my God.
See, give your knee string. All right.
There we go.
I'm ready.
So he's taking a break, so let's move on to our next thing. And all right, I got something for the end of the show.
Flop comes 5 of hearts, 9 of spades, king of spades. Flop comes 5 of hearts, 9 of spades, king of spades. King of spades. King of spades. King of spades. King of spades.